Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Vav, one Daf Kuf Lamed Hayomid Beis, five lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol Sheshah Lamed Yom Ba'Adam, Einay Nefel. Any newborn child who has survived, who has been living for 30 days, that determines for us with certainty that he is no longer a nephil. We don't have to suspect that he's a nephil. A nephil is an undeveloped child who is non-viable, doesn't have the ability to live. So this child, since he's reached 30 days, that determines and establishes for us that he's certainly not a nephil. He's fully developed, he's healthy, and he's going to live a long, healthy life. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Upuduyav in Ben Chodesh Tifte. The Pasuk is speaking about redeeming the firstborn, the Bechor. And the Pasuk stipulates that he must be at least a Ben Chodesh, a month old. Apparently, prior to that stage, there's some uncertainty as to his status, as to whether perhaps he's not viable, he's not developed. And therefore, you need to wait until that's established with certainty, until that's demonstrated, and that takes 30 days. So that's regarding a newborn child, an Adam. What about by a behema? Shmoinas yomim b'mehema ein nefel. Likewise, when it comes to a behema, if he survived for 8 days, so that determines and demonstrates that he's not a nefel. Shenemar b'yom hashmini v'hola yiratza l'karbon. So from the 8th day and on, once you reach the 8th day, Rashi points out later, it could even be already the night prior to the 8th day. Once you've entered the 8th day, that demonstrates that he is considered to be viable. He's a bar kayama. He's considered to be fully alive and well. So that takes 8 days, and we learn that from the pasuk, which says from the 8th day and on, he is to be accepted as a carbon. Apparently, you need 8 days to determine his viability. Let's take a look at Rashi. Two lines from the bottom, beginning with the word upduyav. Says Rashi, "Bebchor adam ksiv." We're speaking about the firstborn of an adam. Beben chodesh. The fact that the Torah depends on the Chodesh, Shema Mino, we hear from here, Achshav Nizbar, now it has become established, Shu Ben Kayom, is considered to be a viable child, V'loi Kodim L'Kain, but not prior to that stage. Now we're going to learn later that what exactly is classified as a Nefil, who exactly is classified as a Bar Kayom. So we're going to learn later that if he's certainly a 9-month baby who was delivered during the ninth month of pregnancy, he's certainly considered to be a bar kayama. He's fully alive and well. He's certainly a non-nephil. He's fully developed, according to all shittas. If he is an 8-month child delivered within the 8th month of pregnancy, certainly he's considered to be a nephil, non-viable. He doesn't have the ability to live on. And when it comes to a Ben Shiva, a child born within the seventh month of pregnancy, that is considered to be a Bar Kayama, a viable child. So it's interesting, the 7th and the 9th are okay, and the 8th is the problematic one, and is not considered to be viable. Interesting that the Chazon Ish points out that the Teva has changed, the nature of a person. Nowadays is different than even a Ben Shmoina, a child born within the 8th month of pregnancy, has a chance of survival. We don't regard him as a mace, as somebody who is definitely, certainly not going to survive. Now, what is the nafkamina here? What is the halachic ramification of whether he's considered to be a bar kayama, a viable child, or a nephil, non-viable? So there are several halachic nafkaminas. So when it comes to an animal, it's pretty simple, because an animal who is less than 8 days old, if we suspect that he's a nephil, a non-viable animal, you can't go do the shechita and eat it, because he's regarded legally as not alive, as not a living. He's not regarded as a living creature, so you can't do shechita and eat it. And when it comes to an Adam, so for instance, if his mother, if he's the only child, his father died childless, he's the only remaining descendant. So the halacha is that a childless woman needs to have yibum. The brother of the dead person needs to marry or chalitza, move the shoe. So the process of yibum chalitza needs to be fulfilled. If there is no child, the question is this fellow, this kid, who is less than 30 days, is he regarded as a viable child, as a living being? thereby exempting his mother from Yibum or Chalitza, because his father did not die childless? Or do we say perhaps, since he died within 30 days, we're unsure. We suspect perhaps he wasn't a Bar Kayam, he was a Nafel, he was not viable. He's not regarded as a living being, a living human. And this results in his mother, necessitating his mother to Yibum or Chalitza. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel again, a Adam needs to survive at least for 30 days to determine and establish for us with certainty that he is not a Nafel, that he's viable, he's fully developed, and is regarded as a legal Adam. When it comes to a Behema, he needs to be 8 days to establish the viability there. Continues the Gemara. Holy Shah. But if the child has not yet survived for 30 days, Sfeika Havi, he's regarded as a Safek, we're uncertain as to his status. Says the Gemara, Mimal Hechimalinenle. If so, how can we ever go ahead and do Mila on the 8th day, which falls out on Shabbos? It's prior to 30 days. We're unsure of whether this child is going to survive. And if he's a Nafel, if he's an undeveloped newborn, then there's no mitzvah of Mila here. So how could you do the Malacha of Mila on Shabbos if there's any suffix, any uncertainty? Omar of Adabar Ava, there's no problem. Either way, you're okay. You can do the Mila. Why? Im Chayu, if he is regarded as a Chay legally, as a viable child, if he is in reality a fully developed child, whose months of development were completed, and he's going to survive and live, then he has a mitzvah, there's an obligation to do Mila on Shabbos. Shaper Kamal. And it's proper. He's doing a proper Mila. Vim Lav. Now on the other side of the coin, perhaps he's undeveloped. We have not yet determined his viability, so perhaps he's not developed. And there is no Chiv of Mila. There's no problem. Machatch Babasaru. He's simply cutting meat. He's cutting the dead meat. Because this child is legally not regarded as a living being. He's not capable of surviving. So you're merely cutting flesh, you're cutting basar. There's no concern of chabur. You're not doing a malacha on Shabbos. Because what's the malacha of making a wound on Shabbos? Inflicting a wound involves the malacha of nefilas neshama. You're taking out some blood, which removes some of the neshama, because the neshama of the person or the animal is embedded in the blood. But this child here is not regarded as a living being. So there's no malacha taking place in either case. Continues the Gemara. So how are we going to explain the brisa which says Safek ben Zayin, Safek ben Ches? We have a newborn infant regarding whom we were uncertain of whether he's a ben Sheva, if he was born within the 7th month of pregnancy, or whether he is a ben Shmoina, born within the 8th month of pregnancy, in which case he's not viable. So there's a Safek of whether he's 7 and he's developed properly, or 8 and he won't survive. In this case, a mechal novas haShabbos. We cannot be mechal Shabbos. We can't do the bris mila for this child if his 8th day falls out on Shabbos, because we're uncertain as to the status of this child, or whether he's considered a nafel, and there's no chiva bris. So we can't do the mila on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, but according to you, what's the problem? Amai, why? Nimhali memaramshach. Let him do the mila to this child. Memaramshach. Either way, you're okay. Im chayu. If it turns out that he's a viable child, shaper kamal, then he's doing a proper mila. Vim lav. But if in reality he's an undeveloped child, he's a nafel, mechatach bebasar, he's simply cutting meat, and there's no problem. So why does the Braisa tell us that one is prevented from doing the mila when we have an uncertainty as to the status of a child, of whether or not he's developed? Do it either way. Says the Gemara, Omar, Mar Bereder Ravina. So Mar, the son of Ravina, said, I know myself, Virav Nechumi Bar Zacharia. So myself and Rav Nechumi Bar Zacharia Targimna, we interpreted, we answered this kasha. Mimol hachinami malinale. Certainly, we do the mila. Of course, the Braisa was not saying that one cannot do the mila. The mila is allowed either way, mimanavshach. Either it's a mitzvah, or he's doing nothing. Loi nitzricha. The Braisa is only prohibiting in the case of elo lemach shirei mila. Valiva derab lezer. The Braisa is referring to the machshirim, the preliminaries, the preparations for the mila, cutting down the tree to make the coals, to develop the knife, all those hachanes of the bris, which Rabbi Eliezer allows to be done on Shabbos as well. And those are certainly malachas. So when we have a suffix as to the status, the legal status of this child, whether or not he's a nafel, whether or not he requires a bris, we can't go ahead and do those machshir milah which involve certain malachas. There are certainly malachas being done there. So in that case, he's prevented from doing that. But the milah itself, there's no discussion. Of course, you can do it. Either it's a mitzvah, or there's no malach at all. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi up on top of the Amud, beginning with the words, Mimal Heichi Me'alina, the first line. Says Rashi, how can we do milah to any child, Shum Katan B'yamashmini B'Shabbos, whose eighth day falls out on Shabbos, the milah Nefalu, perhaps he's a Nefal. He's not suitable for milah. Thereby resulting in doing a chabura without the purpose of a mitzvah. Says the there's no concern. Im chayu kolaymar. Means to say like this. Im kolay chadoshav. If he is a fully developed fetus, fully developed infant, shapir kamal, then he's doing a proper milah. But otherwise, mechatach bebasa shchutu. He's simply cutting meat. V'loy chabura he. It's not considered a chabura. If so, why does the brisa not allow a milah? The Gemara concluded, when the Brayis says he can't do chilul, elul in the machshir milah, l'Rabbi Lezer, we're speaking about preparing the milah, according to Rabbi Lezer, the Amar d'Achus Shabbos, he holds that the preparation of the Achus Shabbos, that's only in a case where we are certain, we are sure positively, that this child is a fully developed child, but when there's any degree of uncertainty, we cannot do the machshir on Shabbos. So when does he allow, Hani milah has only the kinlei begavei shekol lechadoshav, he knows with certainty, that this child's months will complete it fully, he's fully developed. Sha'avrut has chadoshim, that 9 months have passed. Misha shimsha, when the Isha had tashmish, as she yoldos, until she gave birth to him. V'lo shimsha kol yimei bura, and she did not do tashmish all throughout the expectancy period. Avo safek, but when we have a safek, a machshir v'deichen. This safek fellow, his machshirim, his preliminaries do not override Shabbos. Dilma, perhaps, lav barma mimelhu. He's not one who requires milah umechal Shabbos. Thereby, the person preparing is doing chilul Shabbos by soisei pechamim barza when he develops and makes the coals and the metal. He forms the metal for his knife. Continues the Gemara. So we have an interesting point here that when a child is not viable, he's regarded as legally maced, like he's dead, lifeless. And therefore, one can simply cut through without any concern. Omra Abaye Kitanoi, this concept that something which is not viable, which doesn't have the ability to survive, is regarded even currently as a mace, as a non-living entity, is actually based on Amchalikas Tanoi. The Brisa is speaking about an animal, and the Brisa says like this, V'chiyomis mina behema asher hi lochem lo'ochla. The Pasuk says, when an animal which is edible to you will die, and Rashi brings the Brice and Tereskainim, that the Gemara makes a drasha from here, Lahavi, to include Ben Shmoina, that even an animal who's living, but he was a Ben Shmoina, he was born during the 8th month of pregnancy. So generally, the Behema Gasa, this big Behema, like a cow, requires 9 months of pregnancy, like a human being. So if he is born during the 8th month, in which case he's considered to be non-viable, a nafel. So if a person does Shechita, to this calf, she'ein shchitasa mitarzi. That a shchita applied to this animal, who is considered a nafil, undeveloped animal, the shchita is not mitar, does not spear him from tuma, and he's considered to be like a dead animal, like a nevela, and he's matami. So that's what we learn from this pasuk. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, vir Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, they say, no, shchitasa mitarzi. The shchita done, applied to a ben shmoina, to an animal born after eight months of pregnancy, the shechita will be metairit. It is regarded as a legally valid shechita. Says the Gemara, my lav b'kamiflugi. Apparently, what is the point of the machlekes? It is based on this question. The mars of Rachayu, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Lezer, they hold that since he's alive and well, he's walking around, he seems to be perfectly alive, even though he's not capable of living long term, he's not viable. Nevertheless, at the present moment, he's regarded as a chayz living being, and you could be shaykhid him and prevent him from becoming tamim. Umasa v'meisu. Tanakama maintains, since he is slated to die eventually, he doesn't have the capability of living long term. He's regarded even currently as a meis, since he's a nafel. Therefore, shchita cannot be applied to this animal. So apparently, this concept of whether or not we regard a nafel as currently alive or not depends on these two opinions. Likewise, when it comes to the child who was born after 8 months, so he's an 8-month child who's not viable. The question whether or not we can do a milah to this child, the svara mentioned earlier that there's no concern because you're simply cutting the basar. It's simply a dead being. That seems to be hinging on this machlekes. Machlekes tanoi. Amar Rava, if that's the proper interpretation, if that's the case, ademifligi linyan tumah v'tahara. Rather than have a machlekes pertaining to tumah and tahara, whether or not the shechita has the ability to spare this animal from becoming tamei or not, why discuss that? Liflegi linyan achila. Why don't they discuss, why don't they have their machlekes pertaining to a more simple discussion, a more simple context of achila, whether or not the shechita permits the animal to be eaten? And according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, even this nafel, whose shechita was done to it, will be mutar b'achila. It seems to be a greater chiddush. Number one. Number two, this is the primary halacha. Shechita is primarily coming to be mutar b'achila. And that would be the proper context of their machlekes. Meaning that once it allows it to be eaten, certainly it spares it from becoming tamei, but that's secondary. Why don't they discuss the din of shechita, if this indeed is the point of the machlekes? Ella says, Rava, the kulam and mesu, all agree, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Elazar agree, that this nafel has a din of a mace. We currently view him as a non-living entity. And therefore, when it comes to meal on Shabbos, there's no concern, because if he's a ben shmoina, you're simply cutting flesh and not doing a malacha. So it's agreed upon by all. So what then is the point of the machlekes? Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savri, they hold that despite the fact that legally he's considered a mace, nevertheless shechita could do something here. It's not going to allow the thing to be eaten, because certainly we don't consider him to be a chai. He's not a proper living entity. He's slated to die. He's not going to survive. But just as we find kitrefa, just as we find when it comes to a trefa, an animal who has an internal blemish, a vital organ missing, or some sort of critical injury, and it doesn't have the ability to survive long term, there's a chiddush there. Despite the fact that he's a trefa and he's usher to be eaten, but if one does shechita to a trefa, we learn from a pasuk that he's metayer the animal from tumah. The shechita works somewhat in a limited fashion. Trefa laf afalgab the mesahi. Although a trefa has a din of a mesa, meaning it's not viable, it's going to die, and one cannot eat it. It's not considered to be a fully living creature. Nevertheless, shechita sametarasa. If one does shechita the trefa, it is metayer the trefa, prevents it from becoming an avela. So we see that shechita can have a partial effect on an animal, although it's not allowing it to be eaten, but it's preventing it from becoming tamei. Likewise, in our case, of the animal who was born during the 8th month of pregnancy, who is considered to be undeveloped, a nafel, considered to be a mace, hachanami here as well, loishna, there's no difference, meaning that the shechita applied to this ben shmoina should at least be metired from tumah. So this is their view. They compare this case of a ben shmoina to the case of a trefa, and therefore the shechita is metired, despite the fact that it is not matred b'achila. What does the Tanakam hold? It says the Gemara, Rabbanon hold loy damali trefa. You can't compare it. This is not meant to be compared to a trefa. Why? Trefa is a shasa kosher. A trefa animal had a moment of fitness prior to the animal having developed its internal critical injury. So, since it had a moment, shasa kosher, where the shechita would have been fully effective, it was just a typical standard animal. Therefore, the animal maintains that status somewhat, and shechita can be applied to it. Even after it attained its trefa status, it was classified as a trefa. So that's the advantage that a trefa has over and above our case, high in our case, of the animal born within the 8th month of pregnancy, Eben Shmoina. It never had a moment of fitness from the moment that it was born. It was It was invalidated. It was non-viable. High loy hoysel shasa kosher and never had a moment of fitness to have the shechita and to apply proper shechita. Therefore, we can't compare the two things. And therefore, the Tanakhama holds that a shechita applied to the ben shmoina does not work in any way, is not effective, and does not spare it from tumah. Says Rav Chitam, if you'll say, if you'll challenge, treifa mi beta meikel meimar. What about a treifa mi beta? He was born missing some sort of vital internal organ, which renders him a treifa. So he never had a moment of fitness. It was something which he was born with. So how can you say that a treifa can have shechita despite the fact that there's no shasa kosher? Says Gemara, there's still a difference. Hasam over there by a treifa, yesh b'mina shechita. In its min, in its kind, shechita can apply. Meaning, a fully developed animal has shechita. So although this specific animal, this individual is a treifa, but in its kind, in its class, in its type of animals, fully developed animals, shechita is legal, is valid. So it has advantage over this ben shmoina, this premature animal born as a nafel. Hocha ein b'mina shechita. In this case, its kind does not have shechita. Meaning, since he's a nafel, he's regarded as a mace. So all these premature animals don't have shechita because shechita can only apply to a living being as opposed to an animal which is legally defined as a mace. So in summary, regarding an uber, who's a ben shmoina chadashim, who's considered a nafel, so either an adam or behema, born within the 8th month of pregnancy. Now, if it's a newborn child whom we suspect that perhaps he's a 8-month child, the Gemara tells us, you can do milah to this child, because, memanavshach, either way, because even if he's really a ben shmoina chadashim, and he's regarded as a nafel, non-viable, you're simply cutting this flesh, which is dead meat. When it comes to a behema, who was born a ben shmoina chadashim and regarded as a nafel, he's also ba'achila. Now regarding whether the shechita is metar, this animal from tumah, we have machlokes. Continues the Gemara. Okay, so let's get back to the beginning of the sugya. Reb Shimon Gamliel tells us that in order to ascertain that this child, this newborn child, or this offspring, this animal, is not a nafel, in order to establish that he's considered to be viable, a bar kayama, fully living, you need to wait. By an adam, you need to wait 30 days. By behema, it needs to be up to the 8th day. Says the Gemara, Iboilu, so they ask the following question. Mi pligi rabbanan, olei de rameshim gamlil? Do the rabbanan disagree with this concept? Or do they agree with him? They need to wait this period to demonstrate his viability. Intim salamia pligi, if you maintain that they disagree, they don't require, they say, well, let's follow the majority. The majority of women give birth to viable children. The majority of animals give birth to viable offspring. So they disagree with him. If that's the case, halacha kamoisei, do we follow, does the halacha rule like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Or yein halacha kamoisei, do we not paskin like him? Tashma, come and listen to the following gripe. Egel shenol noilad biyomtiv, a calf, who was born on yomtiv itself, shoich tenoisei biyomtiv. You can go ahead and be shoich on yomtiv. Apparently, even a one-day-old calf is mutar b'achila. You don't need to wait to the 8th day. Because otherwise, how can you go ahead and do shechita on Yom Tov to eat it? Hachab mayaskinon says, well, you know what we're speaking about? We're not speaking about your typical offspring in which there's some degree of uncertainty. We suspect perhaps he's undeveloped. Pregnancy only stretched for 8 months and it wasn't fully developed. Hocha Mayaskin, we're speaking about the Kimlei Begave. He knows with certainty regarding this offspring, Shekolei Chadashav, that his months were fully completed, meaning he's a fully developed child. He knows for certainty that he's fully developed, in which case there's no chashash, there's no suspicion of any nafel, and therefore, certainly he's Mutar Bachil. Continues the Gemara Toshma. Come and listen to the following right. Vishavan, they both agree. Rashi will explain for us that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who disagree regarding a b'chor, a firstborn animal, who needs to have a mum, a blemish, in order to allow its shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, we cannot go ahead and examine the b'chor and yomtov. he's repairing. It looks like he's been masakin. It looks like he's doing a din tura. So generally speaking, he doesn't allow examining the b'chur to ascertain, to determine whether it's considered to be a significant mum. But they both agree, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both agree, v'sham and shim noilat hu, umam ha'imai, if the animal was born together with his blemish. So he had a mum at the get-go, right when he was born, shezem and amuchan, this is regarded as a prepared animal, since there was never a point in time in which the issa was established. Meaning, since he was born with the mum, so his coming into this world wasn't a manner of being fully prepared for the shechita, and therefore all agree that this type of animal can be shechted on yontav. Rashi says that Dayana was sitting there during the birth, and they right away determined that this is considered to be a proper mum. In any case, the Mishnah tells us that one can go ahead and be shechted this newborn bechor on yontav. How can you do that? You didn't wait 8 months, eight days. Perhaps he's a navel. Perhaps he's not viable. Perhaps he's also bachim. Hachinami shekol lechadoshav. Says more here as well. We're speaking that this farmer, he knows with certainty that this animal who was born is fully developed. His months were fully developed, and he's considered to be viable. So there's no suffix here, and therefore there's no problem. Toshma, come listen to the following Gemara. The Omer Avida Mashmol halacha. Rav Shimon Gamliel. The halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel's view. Apparently, halacha, mechal depligi, the fact that he had to go ahead and say halacha, apparently, others disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shema mino, indeed, this is a right. So it appears that the Rabbanon will follow the right. They say, well, since most women and most animals give birth to viable children and offspring, we follow the Rav as we do all over the Torah. In contrast with Rav Shimon Gamliel, who maintains that this is different when it comes to these offspring, to the children of offspring, since there's a sizable minority, the Mefarshim say it's a mir tamotzi, it is common for them to be, for there to be a nafil, non-viable child, an undeveloped child or offspring, we must suspect that perhaps this child as well is not viable. Some explain that Rav Shimon Gamliel actually learns this from the Pasuk. As we began with the Gemara before, that we learned from the Pasuk of Bukhar, where the Torah specifically tells us that a child is different. We don't follow the Rav. An animal, a newborn animal, is different. We don't follow the Rav. So this is a Din Torah. The Torah excludes our sugya, our topic, and differentiates, draws that line between our discussion and the rest of the Torah. In our case, we don't follow the Rav. We have reason to suspect that perhaps he's not viable, and we're meant to follow even the miut, a minority, and suspect and be choshish, that perhaps it's a nafel. Therefore, we need to ascertain with certainty. We have to wait a period of time of survival to demonstrate and to determine and establish the child's viability. Continues the Gemara. Okay, now that we've established that there's a machlekes going on here, that according to one shita, you need to wait to establish viability, whereas according to the other shita, we're not concerned, we don't have a suffix. Now, what is the context of their discussion? What were the circumstances surrounding the death of the child or the offspring? How did it happen? Om Rabbi, Nofel Min Hagag. Let's say the child, he died as a result of external causes. So he hadn't yet reached the point of 30 days, and he died somewhere before that. But it was a result of an external cause. For instance, Nafal Magag, he fell off a roof. Oy, Achle Ari, attacked by a lion. So in this case, Divrei HaKol Chayu. All agree, even Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees, that we regard him legally as a Chai. There's no reason to suspect that he's a Nafal. Why? Because firstly, we have the Rav. The majority of women give birth to healthy children. And number two, there was no exhibition of any erasa, any indication that he was weak or lacking in health. He died simply as a result of a lion. Therefore, even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we regard him as a proper living child, a proper bar kayama. And as we discussed earlier, if his father died childless and he's the only surviving son, he exempts his mother from Yibum, from Chalitza. He's considered to be a proper child. Divrei HaKol Chayu, all agree that he's Chay. Ki pligi, when then is there a machlokes shapir kemes? Let's say he was born and then he simply yawned and died, in which case there's a reisa here. this is an indication of some internal weakness. He displayed weak vital signs. So we have a reason to suspect, to establish a notion that he wasn't viable. So that is the basis of the machlekes. This is the context of the machlekes. Mar sovar chayu. So Rabbanu maintain, nevertheless, he's regarded as chay. We follow the majority. We have no reason to think otherwise. Umar sovar mesu. However, if Shimon Gamliel holds, we must suspect that he's a nefil, that he wasn't viable. L'maynav kibina. Now, what is the halacha ramification of this? Lifter min ha-yibum, as we discussed earlier, to exempt his mother from yibum. So if he's regarded as a chay, then he exempts his mother. But otherwise, there's a suffix regarding his ability to live on, whether or not he's a bar kayama, and therefore his mother must address the chiv yibam. She must at least do chalitza on account of this suffix. Let's see Rashi inside here. So Rashi is off to the right side, just a couple of lines up, four or five lines up, beginning with the words nafal menagag oyochlari. Says Rashi, shemes machmas misa, he died as a result. So within 30 days he died as a result of an external cause. In that case, divrei hakol all agree becheskas kol lechadoshev. We presume that his months were fully complete. He's a fully developed child. Koi, di lav hachmisa lav emes. If not for this external cause of death, he wouldn't have died. Hilka chayu, we regard him as fully alive. Ubadam have a vlad. So when it comes to a child, he's considered to be a vlad. Upatiras imoy minachalitza, and he exempts his mother from chalitza. V'gab behima nami. Likewise, by behima stam vlad behima sheshachad v'seiches. Any vlad, any offspring who he did shechita to within 8 days, so he hadn't yet waited for that 8-day period, mutav achilik, can go and eat it. Why? Because here too, the cause of death is external, the shechita, put him to death. Since we had not noticed any reyesa, any exhibition of weakness, any indication of an internal weakness, then we follow the roiv. Most bearers of children, most women or animals, give birth to healthy children. However, if it was shepiek, bailer blaz, some type of yawn, kaloyma, for instance, la'achar le'dosai. So he means to say that after his birth, notice some weak vital signs, a little bit chiyus, shepiek, imeis, he simply yawned and died. Va'begabe adam koyden, speaking about a person, a child who died. So according to the first approach to the Gemara, if there was an external cause of death, all agree, there's no reason to suspect that he's a nefil. If there was an internal cause of death, he showed weak vital signs, which is a reyesa. It's an indication that there's something wrong here. He's lacking in his chiyus, in his health. So we go ahead and we suspect that he was a nefil because he had not yet reached the 30-day period or the 8-day period. And this is the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, whereas according to Rabbanon, we follow the majority, we assume that he was a healthy child. Says the Gemara, let's go back. Nofal menagag oyoch lari divakol chayu. Can you say that if there was this external cause, falling off the roof, attacked by a lion, all agree that he's regarded as a chai? How could that be? We have a story which indicates otherwise. V'horav papa, v'rav huna b'rei d'Rishua. So these two, iklu lebei, they visited the home of Brei, the Ravid bar Avin, the son of Ravid bar Avin. V'avadlu, so he prepared a meal for his guest, and he prepared for them iklu tilsa. A third-born calf is considered to be something chashev. B'yimam b'deshiva. It was on the seventh day, so this calf was only 7 days old. On his seventh day, va'amrle, and they told him, sorry, we can't eat it. E israchisule. If you would have delayed the shechita of this animal ad l'urta, at least until nightfall, in which the eighth day would have already entered, havachlinim, we would have eaten from it. Hashta, but now it was premature, we can't eat from it. Now we're speaking about death as a result of an external cause. It was shechita here. Apparently there's a concern even in this case. Says we must switch things around. Ella, rather, when he exhibited weak vital signs and he died, all agree, even the Rabbanon agree, that he's regarded, we suspect, that perhaps he's mace, he's a nefil. He's not viable. He had no ability to carry on, to live on. Why? Because there was a reyes here. There was an exhibition of weakness. So all agree to that. Ki pligi, when then? Is there a machlekes? Benafel min agag, ba'achle ari, when there was an external cause of death, falling off the roof, attacked by a lion. Marsav amesu. Rishon Gamliel holds that he has not yet reached the point of 30 days. We regard him, we suspect, we are choishish, that he's amazed, that he's a nefel. Umar sabachayu, the Rabbanon say no, he doesn't need to establish his non-viability. He can go ahead and be considered like a viable child, even though he hasn't reached the point of 30 days. So once again, all agree that if he was merely piyukames, we suspect that he is a nefel. If he had an external cause of death, then there's a machlekes. And indeed, these Rav Papa and Rav Huna Yeshua, they were following the halacha, like Rav Shimon Gamliel. We learned earlier that the halacha, paskins like him, therefore they were withheld, they prevented from consuming this animal, since the shechita took place prior to the eighth day. So in summary, regarding an Adam who is less than 30 days old, or Behema less than 8 days old, so it depends. If we know with certainty that this offspring is 9 months old, he had a full development period, all agree that he's considered a chai. That is a suffix here. We're uncertain as to the point of his development. The Gemara concluded, it depends. If P.A. Kumeis, if he yawned and died, in which case he exhibits weakness, all agree he's regarded as amazed. There's a suffix nafel here. When we have a case of a child who we're unsure of whether or not he's fully developed, he's a suffix, but he died within 30 days as a result of an external cause, for instance, falling off the roof, then we have a machlekes. We suspect that he's mace. He's a suffix nafel. We're not sure regarding his status. Perhaps he's not viable. He needs to determine that by waiting 30 days, according to Chachamim. Even within 30 days, he's considered to be perfectly alive and well. As we explained, since the roiv, the majority of women, give birth to healthy, viable children. Plus, there was no exhibition of weakness here. He died due to an external cause. Therefore, we considered him legally chai. Continues the Gemara. Braid Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, the son of Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, is Yal Lehu Yenuka. So he had this newborn child, Begoit Lasin Yom Shachav, and he passed away within 30 days. Yosef Kamasabalovay. So his father was sitting and mourning on account of him. Amle Yavua. So his father told him, Savronisa Kabois Lamechal. You'd like to eat the goodies? The food that is served to the mourners? Why are you doing avelas for this child who passed away within 30 days? It's a suffix of whether he's considered to be a nafel, and there's no need to do avelas here. Amar lay, so the father responded, Kimli bay, shekole chadashav. I know with certainty regarding this child that he's fully developed, and therefore there's no suffix at all. He's considered to be a bar kayama, which necessitates avelus. Rav Ashi ikla bay Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi visited the home of Kahana, Isra bay Milsa. A tragedy happened there, begod lasin yoimin, and Rav Kahana's child passed away within 30 days. Chazi di Yosef become a savalvay. So Rav Ashi noticed that Rav Kahana was sitting and doing avelus on him. Or Malaysi told him, Savalvay ma, do you not hold laha, damar vidamar shmul? Halacha. Kravam shimon gamliel. That unless he's 30 days old, you must suspect, be choishes that he's a nefel, and there's no chiva avelus. Or Malaysi told him, Kimli begavei shekol lechadashav. Here as well he said, I know with certainty that he was a fully developed child, his months were fully completed, in which case there's no suffix at all. All agree, in this case, that he's regarded as a viable child, and avelus is required. It's my we learned, mace, b'seh shloishim, v'omda v'neskacha. This woman went ahead and accepted kiddushin. She was betrothed, she got engaged to somebody, in a situation where her child had passed away within 30 days. And this was the only child. Now she thought, since she had a child, she wasn't childless. She's not required to do Yivmo Chalitza. She went ahead and she accepted Kedushin from a fellow. Now, since he passed away within 30 days, it seems that at least there's a suffix here. We have an uncertainty regarding the status of this child. Now, if he is a Nafel, if we have reason to believe that he's not a viable child, he's not a Bar Kayom, he's not a Chai, then turns out that her husband died childless, and she is required to undergo chalitza, or yibum. So he died within 30 days, and she mistakenly thought this is considered to be a proper child, and she went, and she was in Skadish to somebody. Omar Avinim Shmei the Rava. It depends. What are we going to do? Im Yisraeli, Im Eshes Yisraeli, if the fellow who was Mekadish's person is a Yisrael, so she's slated to marry a Yisrael who's allowed to marry Isha who did Chalitza, then there's no problem, Chaylatzes. So she does Chalitza on account of uncertainty, of Suffolk. Perhaps this child that passed away was not regarded as a real child, he's a Nephil, therefore the father passed away childless and she needs Chalitza, so do Chalitza and then proceed with the marriage. But if she's the wife of a Kohen, meaning she's slated to marry a Kohen, the person who was Mekadosh was a Kohen, and we know that a Kohen cannot marry an Isha who is a Chalutza, then we apply a leniency. We are Mekel. We say, look, let's follow the Sheet of the Rabbanon, who say that even a child who passes away within 30 days is considered to be a proper child, a viable child, and we assume that the father who passed away here was not childless and does not require chalitza for his wife. Eina chalitzes, she does not do chalitza. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi up on top on the first line. Im eishes koyin Israeli. Im eina koyin zeshen skashalai. If this fellow who she was niskadish to, this fellow who betrothed her, who engaged her, is not a koyin, so then umutu bachalitza. And bachalutza, and he is allowed to marry Isha, who is a chalutza. Chalitzes mena safek. Vachach tenotze, and then she would marry him. However, if he's a Kohen, Shim Tachlitz, if she does Chalitza Te Asurla, it should be Asatim. Samchina and the Rabbanon, we rely on the lenient sheet of the Rabbanon. Rabbanon, we say, Love Nephilu, this child who died within 30 days, is not considered to be a Nephil. He's considered to be a perfectly legally valid and viable child, and therefore she doesn't do Chalitza. So this is the ruling that Ravina presented in the name of Rav. Rav Shravi Mishvei Rav Amar, he quoted Rav as follows. Achazu v'achazu. Whether this case or that case, Chaletzis, in both cases, she needs Chalitza. We don't rely on the sheet of the Rabbanon. Amali Ravina Rav Shravi. So Ravina came to back up his version. He said to Rav Shravi, Bu'urta Amar Rav Ach. Indeed, at night, Rav taught, as you said, that in both cases, by the Yisrael and the Kohen, Chalitza is required. However, let's suffer in the morning, he reverted, he changed his mind. And he adopted a more lenient approach and allowed the Eshes Kohen to forego the Chalitza. And we rely on the Rabbanan, that this child who died prematurely is considered to be a viable child. Amar Lei, Sir Rav Shravya expressed his disapproval. He said, Sharisua, you allow this woman to get married without a Chalitza? And you transgress the Shita, the words of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Yehi Rava, it should be the will of Hashem, to Tishrut Harba, that you should even go ahead and permit forbidden fats. So he was expressing his approval in a very sharp way. And no, you cannot differentiate between Yisrael and Kayin, who went to follow the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. This child who died prior to 30 days is suspected of being a Nephil, and therefore this Isha must be treated as a childless woman and requires chalitza. Now, the interesting kasha here. Under what circumstance did this child pass away? The Gemara said the child died with her shleishim. Now, we learned earlier that all agree that if a child was pie kumes, he died as a result of his weakness, he exhibited weak vital signs. That's considered a reisa. That leads us to the notion that this child was internally deficient, and all agree that if this child passes away before 30 days, before having determined and demonstrated for us that he is a proper child, that he's a viable child, all agree, even the Rabban agree, that we must suspect that he's a Nephil. So what's the pshat here regarding this child who passed away within 30 days, that we say that the Rabbanon considered him to be a proper child, and therefore Rava was makel by the Eshes Kohen, the Chalitza is not required, rely on the Rabbanon. Since he passed away from internal causes, even the Rabbanon would seem to agree that he's considered to be a Suffolk Nephil. So the Farshim point out that apparently he died as a result of an illness. He fell ill, he was sick. It wasn't simply P.A. Kumeis, he yawned and just passed away suddenly. Now, dying as a result of illness is something which is unfortunately common. It doesn't necessarily expresses a state of non-viability. Doesn't necessarily indicate that he was a Nafel. So this is different than the Piyah Kumeis, which the Rabbanan agreed to Rav Shimon Gamliel. In the case of a child who was Cholomeis, he fell ill and then died, this is different. And the Rabbanan would maintain that even though it was within 30 days, we don't have reason to suspect that he was a Nafel. We regard him as a full-fledged child, and therefore his mother is not a Yevamah, she doesn't need Chalitza. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, this is going back to the Mishnah earlier, and Daf Kuf Lamed Daled, regarding a milah performed on Shabbos. The Mishnah told us that an androgynous, this child was born with male and female organs, so he's a combined creature here. The milah applied to this child is only on account of uncertainty, it's a safek chiyuv, therefore we can't do it on Shabbos, even though the eighth day fell out on Shabbos. Which Rabbi Yehuda says, he can do the milah on Shabbos, read a Matir by androgynous. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's regarded as a zachar. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shezi or Rav Chisda, Loi lekoil, not regarding all matters, all contexts of halacha, Amar Rav Yehuda, adroignus zachar. Not regarding everything, does Rav Yehuda regard the adroignus as a zachar? Why? Shema to Omer, okay, because if you maintain that for everything, Rav Yehuda regards this fellow as a zachar, with certainty, if so, be'erchen yorech, when it comes to erchen, which is where a person commits himself, he makes some sort of neder to Hashem that he's going to bring the value of a specific individual to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. Torah delineates, lists for us the value of male, female, depending on the age. And we know that an androgynous does not have this halacha. If one makes an erech of an androgynous, he says, I'm going to give the value, the erech of the androgynous, he's not obligated to bring anything. Now, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, the androgynous is regarded as a zachar regarding all matters. So why not? Again, loy lekoil amar b'yuda androgynous zachar. Shema to oimekein, because if you maintain that he's regarded as a definite zachar, if so, be'erchen yo'arich. When it comes to erchen, you should be able to do the erich on this child, on this person. How do we know that androgynous you cannot apply erich to? The sani is learned in the b'raisa. Ha-zachar. The pasuk has an extra word, ha-zachar. The value of a hazacher, the pasuk here is coming to exclude the veloy tumtum adroignus. It needs to be a definite zacher, as opposed to a tumtum, who's the varim of the zacher of his male organ is covered over, so there's an uncertainty as to his status. Vandroignus, or this fellow who exhibits both indicators, so this is excluded from the pasuk of hazacher. That he cannot have the erech, he's not valued, he's not put into the same category as a zachar. Yochel lo yehi berech ish, perhaps, okay, he's not valued as an ish, avol yehi berech isha, perhaps he is categorized with regard to the value of erechen, like an isha. Tamad lo yehi ha-zachar v'im nekeva. So there are two exclusions here. First, ha-zachar, and then by nekeva it says v'im nekeva. There's an extra word, v'im. V'im nekeva hi. So we learn from here, that it needs to be both. It needs to be zachar vaday, a definite zachar, as opposed to the tumtum, where there's some uncertainty as to his status. And likewise, an androgynous, who's this combined creature. So he's not a zachar vaday. Likewise, it needs to be nekeva vaday, a definite nekeva, as opposed to these two individuals. Veloy tumtum androgynous. So this is a brisa and teres kainim. Now, who's the author of this brisa? V'stam safra, Rabbi Yehuda. This is a Brice in Teres Kahanim, and we know that an anonymous Brice in Teres Kahanim is Rabbi Yehuda, so it's compatible, follows Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. So apparently, when it comes to the Parsha of Erechen, this androgynous is not regarded as a Zachar. Over Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Afanana Metanina, we also learned likewise, that when it comes to a different halacha, a different context, even Rabbi Yehuda does not consider the androgynous as a Zachar. The Mishnah says, "Hakol ksheirim lekaddish, all are capable of doing kiddush." We're speaking about kiddush meichatas, the paraduma water, placing the ashes on the water. So all are allowed to do that. Chutz, except for mecherish shoyte v'katan. Cherish is a deaf dumb, deaf mute. Shoyte deranged v'katan or minor. Rabbi Yehuda machshav v'katan. He allows a katan upoysel beisha uveandroginus, and he prohibits an isha or an androgynous from performing the kiddush meichatas. So apparently, an androgynous is classified like an isha. Shmamina, so indeed we hear from here that androgynous is not regarded like a zachar in all contexts. If so, why is Mila different? Umayshno Mila, why is Mila different? Why, when it comes to Mila, does Rav Yehuda obligate the androgynous to undergo a Mila definitively, Mishum Dechsib, because the Torah says, Himoy Lochem Kol Zachar. So the Kol is coming to clue even androgynous, and there's a Chi of Mila on androgynous. It's not really a Suffolk, it's a Chi of Vada. So the first explain. So in the final analysis of things, what is the difference? How can we differentiate? How can we find an explanation? What is unique about Mila? So explanation given is that although this fellow is regarded as a combined male and female, he's a joint zachar nekever. He doesn't have he's not fully statused as a male or as a female. So he doesn't have a din of a zachar vaday. With regard to Erchin, likewise when it comes to the Kiddush Meichatos, he has an aspect, an element of a female, of a nekeva. So that's regarding other halachas. Mila is different. Mila is unique. The mitzvah of Mila doesn't necessarily require a fellow who is completely, comprehensively, definitively classified as a zachar. Even if he merely has the aver, the organ of the zachar, he has the erla there. So the mitzvah of Mila focuses on the physical phenomena. He has the aver of the zachar, he has the erla, that needs to be removed. The chi of Mila applies to the zachrus of this fellow. So although legally, halachically, he is he's classified as a zachar, a combined zachar nekeva, a partnership, so to speak, a new status perhaps. But when it comes to mitzvah Mila, which is done on the zachrus of the zachar, on the earl of the zachar, so as long as he has that, that is sufficient to be mechayiv, to obligate a mitzvah Mila, and it's done b'turis vaday definitively, and as kontra b'yuda, and as a chiyiv vaday, and it's done even on Shabbos. Okay, time for a brief chazora of today's daf. We learned that a newborn child who is less than 30 days old, or a behemoth offspring, which is less than 8 days old, do we suspect perhaps that they are non-viable, they are nafil? So it depends. We have three categories. When we know for certainty, we are positive, that they have completed their full terms. For instance, this newborn child, who has certainly been developed for 9 months, in that case we regard him as full-fledged chai, as a viable child. When we have an uncertainty of whether he's an 8-month child, in which case he's a nafil, or a 9-month child, in which case he is considered to be viable, then we have a machlekes. And it depends. It depends on the situation. If he was pie kumes, he simply yawned and passed away, and it was prior to 30 days, then all agree, we must suspect that he's a nafil, that he was undeveloped, and he was not viable. In a case where he was nafal min hagag, if he died as a result of an external cause, then we have a machlekes. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we must suspect that perhaps he's a nafil, and we regard him as a mace, and therefore his mother is required to undergo chalitza if this was her only child. We're uncertain as to the status of his child, unless he survived for 30 days. In that case, he demonstrated his viability, he demonstrated that he's a bar kayama, he's chai, and therefore he is not considered to be a suffolk nafil. Whereas according to the Chachamim, in this case where he died due to an external cause, we have no reason to suspect, to believe, to have a chashash that he's a nafil, and therefore they consider to be a full-fledged chai, a bar kayama, even if he's less than 30 days. We learned also regarding a child who was born after 8 months of his pregnancy, so within the 8th month he's a ben shmoyne chadashim. Now, if it's a newborn child whom we suspect that perhaps he's a 8-month child, we can do Mila, because although he's a nafil, he's not viable. There's no concern there, because you're merely cutting flesh, and there's no malacha taking place. Regarding a behema, that behema is asa ba'achila. Regarding the shechita, is a shechita metar, we have a machlekes. I'm concluding regarding androgynous. According to Rabbi Yehuda, specifically by Mila, the chiv of androgynous is a definite chiv.